That we come by the blood of Jesus Christ as we go into your word. I confess my sins. I humble myself and I ask for your mercy to be faithful as we go into your word today. Help me to speak as an oracle of God. Help me to redeem it and not to say things that are unnecessary. As your word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened with revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I will receive mercy to be faithful in the delivery of word. Let your kingdom come, Father. Let your with the Holy Spirit come and have we come and glorify the name of Jesus today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a very short word of exhortation as we go into the word this evening and lots to encourage us. And I've titled it Overcoming Dullness of Hearing. Let's say together, Overcoming Dullness of Hearing. You see, this is something that we all pass through at certain times, you know, after we get born again. And you discover that the effects can be very, very... It's a plan of Satan to hinder us from fulfilling our purpose. But let's read. I wrote this thing down some time ago, so I just picked up with it. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Overcoming dullness of hearing. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Let's first of all read the book of in KJV. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Paul was talking to the Hebrew Christians. Can I put it on the board? So Paul was talking, you know, the book of Hebrews, as we all know, contains a lot of deep revelation about the purposes of God. It talks about the high priestly ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and Paul began to talk to the Hebrew Christians. And you know, the Hebrew Christians he was talking to here, they had a background of the Old Testament. So by they should know. But he now got to this place, we all know. He's been talking about how Jesus Christ prayed, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And then he now got to this place, he said, of whom? Talking about Lord Jesus Christ. We have many things to say and hard to be uttered. The reason why it is hard to be uttered is not because Paul could not say it. He said, sin, say sin. You are dull of hearing. Will not be dull of hearing in Jesus' name. So he said, there are things I want to say to you. They are hard to be uttered. But the reason is not because I can't say it, but you are dull of. Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The same verse in the Amplified Bible. So he began to let you guys say, concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to what? Explain. Since you have what? Become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But see, if we find ourselves in this situation at any point in time, I want to be a message of hope. What we have to do to get out of it? Because Paul was saying, there are many things I want to tell you. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this. He said, there are many things I want to tell you. He said, but I can't tell you now. He said, but when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you to all truth and will show you things to come. You see, because the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So you see, if I can't get an information across to you, there will be a problem. To that degree, we will be hindered in fulfilling your purpose and destiny. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. What's it called? I put another version here in ISV. Yeah, ISV says, we have much to say about this. But it's difficult to explain. Why? Because you have become too lazy to understand. We've not become too lazy to understand. Praise the Lord. So notice, say the word become. That means a gradual process. They were not like that before. You see, when we get born again and we hear the things of our spirit, there's so much zeal in us. You know, everything they tell us to do, we'll do it. But see, after some period of time, it's like I was thinking, I was coming to take the microphone, a thought occurred to me. You know when people are running a race, Usually, if you observe, most people, when they're about to cut the tape, they normally usually slow down. Which will not be. Because you can lose a split second. I may not be able to break the world record. See, so if you watch the running and the running, and some of them will be looking back like this to France, see whether they're, and instead of running through, they'll slow down a bit. That will not be a portion of Jesus' thing. You see what I'm saying? God does not want to be to slow down. You see that word that you see there, dullness of hearing. Are you following me? In the Hebrew, it means to be slow, sluggish, indolent, and lazy. So when he says dullness of hearing, it's something that is a consequence of slothfulness in spiritual things. When you begin to take things easy. Praise the Lord. So I put this there. I wrote down a definition that God gave me. I said, what is dullness of hearing? It is the inability to perceive, understand, or grasp spiritual truth due to gradual spiritual slothfulness and a lack of diligence. He said, seeing that you have become dull of hearing. There was a time that we're so fervent in spirit, they understood the things of spirit. And you know, Paul now said, let there be, you know, it's the same Paul that said, I knew a man that was caught up with heaven, that hot things are unlawful to say. Are you with me? So I repeat again, I say, it is the inability to perceive, understand, or grasp spiritual truth due to spiritual slothfulness or a lack of diligence. These are the reasons behind this problem that you have. Usually, we couple with wrong attitudes and all, but I want us to focus that, because the writer of Hebrews, well, if you go to the next chapter, he said, don't be slothful. Be followers of those who through faith and patience. So he was talking to them. So he highlighted the process. The reason why you are in this condition is because you've dropped, or you become a bit lazy. Are you following me? Or you are no more as diligent as you used to be. Praise the Lord. So, and I meditate on the scriptures. The Lord just, I see, God does not want us to be in this state. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says the path of the just, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 18, you can put it there. It says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You see, as Christians, ideally, we should go in from faith to faith every day. Are you with me? That is God's design. You see, your path should shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day when you fulfill your destiny. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about Luke chapter 24, verse 25. We read in the Amplified Bible because of time. This was after the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and then he saw some Christians, so to speak, on the way to Emmaus. And they were talking about, you know, what happened, how Jesus Christ, you know, they were expecting him to do this and do that. And then he died, and they said they heard some people is resurrected. And look at the Lord Jesus' comment. You see, he didn't pamper them, he helped them. But see, he wasn't saying, okay, don't worry, it's going to be fine. No. Look at what he said. Look at the words he said. And Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception, and slow of heart to believe, adhere to and trust and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken. It was a gentle rebuke. That's it. The master saw the situation and he knew that, look, you guys, why don't you understand? He expected them to know, like God expects us to know. He was among them all the while. They read the same scriptures. Are you with me? That was why Jesus Christ, when he saw, he told his, I said, who do men say that I am? Why would he ask that question? It would be unjust for him to ask that question if he didn't expect them to know. So he expected that by reason of time, all of them should know. But it was only Peter that knew, at least at that time. That was, he was very happy. He said, Peter, thou art Christ, and on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. So let's read. He said, and Jesus said unto him, O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception. God does not want us to be dull of perception. Are you following me? And slow of heart to believe, to adhere to and trust and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 26, please. Was it not necessary and essentially fitting that Christ the Messiah should suffer all these things before entering into his glory, his majesty and splendor? Next verse. Then, beginning with what? Moses. And throughout all the prophets, he went on to explaining and interpreting to them in all the scriptures the things concerning and referring to himself. You see, why I'm sharing this message is one of the reasons why the importance of this message. You see, there are things, reason concerning you, both in the law and the prophets. The things you are reading every day, when you open your Bible, you do your Bible, daily Bible, you see something, and so-and-so said to so-and-so, and he said so-and-so, you are reading about your prophetic destiny. But if you are slow of heart to believe, due to spiritual slothfulness or a lack of diligence, don't let me say you, that person won't see it. That was the situation. That, you see, about everything, Bible says, it is written of me in the volume of the books. You see, everything that happened to Christ, we have a part in it, apart from his redemptive sacrifice. Are you with me? So if you are, you're reading things or things that you are just reading every day, you might say, okay, and then so-and-so did this. It looks so ordinary. But I found that many times when I'm reading my Bible, by the grace of God, this thing will just jump out of me. Boom! I'll give you an example. Just came to my heart. I didn't plan to say, I'll just say it. You know, let me put it this way so you can understand. So it doesn't sound like pride. You know, why you need to have an idea. Somewhere in the book of Amos, he says that Amos was talking. He said that is, if you find it, I don't know the example. He said, I was not a prophet, but my father was a picker of sycamore trees. People when God now called him to go and speak to the house of Israel, somewhere in Amos, you know. Years ago, after I got born again, you know, I was reading my Bible, and God used that spirit to speak to me. I used to speak to you to wherever I apply to, whatever God has called you to do. Now, I'm not saying I'm there yet. It just came to my head and mentioned it. Why? And this way God spoke to me. He said, you know, you are an agriculturalist. I studied agriculture. Trying to tell him that, look, this direction I'm taking you. Are you with me? Fine, don't, but just put it. I just an example. Okay, are you there? So then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I am no prophet. Neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdsman, agriculturist, and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Next verse. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. What am I saying? Please, God forgive me. I didn't intend to share it. I'm not trying to brag or anything. But what I'm trying to say is this. You see, every one of us, you see, it wasn't the first time I read it. I read it many times, at least more than three times. So the Lord now spoke to me one day and said, you know you studied agriculture in Ife. Are you with me? So he said, that applies to you. But before then, I was dull. I didn't understand it. But I took time to begin to study this God. So I just gave us an example. But that everybody, there are things written concerning you in the Word of God. You see, things that has with your purpose, the person you will marry. Are you with me? I give another example. Just coming to my heart. I didn't plan to say all these things. I hope I'm not walking in the flesh. When I came to this church, you know, praying about who to get married to and all that, blah, 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 blah. So I asked God one question. Before I said, the person I'm going to marry in my private life, is the person in this church or not in this church? I'm just talking. I said, because there are many born-again Christians all over. And God took a scripture. You see, you can't cook up this scripture. It's not something you go and cook up, you know, like you. No. And he spoke to me about daughters of Zelophehad. And he told me, what is the part that God brought out from there is, he told me, he said that they must only marry into that their tribe. That they cannot marry outside their tribe. That if they marry outside their tribe, they will lose their inheritance. Are you with me? Meaning that there's an inheritance for me in this house. So I knew I wasn't already, I already cut off everybody. That was in my heart. Then after we got engaged and everything, God spoke to me from 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think verse 14. You know, when you forget to begin praying, there are a lot of issues going on. And I said, look, then God spoke to me. He said, that good thing that was committed to you, 2 Timothy, I used to say, that good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in you. Immediately, that's why you have to be confessed to your scripture. When I saw that good thing, you know, now took that good thing, took it to Proverbs. Say that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. How do you keep by the Holy Ghost? He now brought Ephesians to me, Ephesians chapter 5. He says that, you know, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. How do you give yourself for your wife? I follow him, he said, he ever lived to make special for the saints. So why have I said this before I go? I didn't plan to say all this, but please follow me. And if I'm wrong, God forgive me. So that when tough times comes, you keep moving. I've had to tell my wife, wait, only relax. It's more than you. God has spoken to me. He has given me an assignment. So I can't look to the left or to the right because I'm not good spoken. But see, if you are not sure, and when things get difficult, you start doubting. If you are living on second-hand information, pastor told me, mommy told me, because we submitted it. But I took, it's no longer second-hand information. It is first-hand information. So I know that God spoke to me. I can't say I don't know. I can give you other examples. That's why when things happen, I just smile and say, God, I know what you told me. I'm going to stand on what you told me. I'm just going to keep on. So why have I said all that? You see, things are written in this book concerning you, your prophetic destiny, what God wants you to do, where He wants you to live. I can give different examples of where I'm walking. I know I'm supposed to be where I am now today. When it was time for me to leave, Pastor Boyega, I knew. God told me. I called my wife. I said, Odi, my assignment has finished there. She's sitting down there. I said, God has spoken to me. But you know what? You don't shout. I'm saying that because it has come to pass. And I look back. I finally, but God spoke to me from the scripture. I won't give any other example. So it's not about you. It's about the word of God. But I'm not saying it that. You see, all those things I talked about, I was not a pastor when God spoke to me. So you don't have to be a pastor. That's why at the age of 12, Jesus Christ knew what his father wanted him to do. What am I saying? In the natural, if a father is going out, no, he will give the children different assignments. So you go and clean this. So why won't you know? So if you don't know, it's because you have not asked or you don't want to know. But want to know Jesus' name. So what am I saying? Many Christians fall into this category. And not because God wants it like that. But God wants there to be a change. Praise the Lord. So I said the root cause of this problem is gradual. Say gradual. Spiritual slothfulness and a lack of diligence that affects the degree to which the will is open to allow the sufficient flow of God's life and light from the spirit to the will to enlighten the mind. It's a gradual process. I said this problem, what is the root cause? You see, ultimately, it affects the will. Like Pastor has taught you, if will acts as a trap door, it's what allows the life and the life of God to flow from your spirit into your soul to enlighten your mind. But you see, if your will, if you start getting lazy or you are not diligent about the things of the spirit, the will begins to close. So the measure of light that is coming out is not sufficient to illuminate certain scriptures. You see, you will see some things about you understand. You can understand about prosperity. But things concerning you, you can be looking at it every day like this and you will not know. Because there isn't sufficient light and life. And that's why I said, that is the effect. But see, the root cause is gradual spiritual slothfulness. Because in the evil book of Hebrews, he started telling them, he said, you have need again that will teach you the principles of. He said, if the Lord permits, let us go on to perfection. I follow me. That he said, by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. Now, let me ask you this question. Was he saying that everybody in the Hebrews, among the Hebrews, was called to the teaching ministry? No. He was saying that by reason of time, you should have an understanding of these things so you can teach people and teach yourself. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So I said spiritual softness and a lack of diligence that affects the degree to which the will is open to allow sufficient flow of God's life and light from the spirit to the will to enlighten the mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. This is very important. I talked about when I was a young Christian. In those days when I came to church, whatever they told us to do, I would do it and I would shut my door and begin to pray and begin to scream. Me and Pastor Andrew, we'll come for 3 hours after in those days, fasting. We'll close. Then we'll go to a particular place. We'll lock ourselves up. We say, this perfection thing, we have to just get it. And we'll fast overnight into Monday and go to work. He's sitting there. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. These things will not drop on us like ripe cherries. What I want to say is that it's not because God likes this person or doesn't like this person. No, God is not partial. Are you following me? So what I say, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, what does he say? Say, by much slothfulness, the building decayed, and through idleness of the hands, the house dropped through. You see, if you are not, you see, what I discovered is, many of us, when it comes to our secular or whatever we are doing, we are so diligent, extremely diligent. You want to go for an examination, you go and go to lab, you study, you check this, you check this, you check this, you check this. In your mind, you are just, if this man, you ask this one, I'll give him, pa, 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 pa. But many times, when it comes to spiritual things, we are not that diligent. And we expect the same result. How can you expect a first class when you're not going for lectures and you're not diligent, you don't study like other people? It would be unfair. Are you following me? That's why you find Jesus Christ, you wake up. He said, even though he was a son, he had to dig out his purpose. He had to dig out what God wanted. He had to dig out, let me bring it home, what he had to do every day. I'm telling you, you can know from the scriptures. You know what God will do? God will arrange your circumstances. What God has seen the pattern. He will arrange your circumstances such that what you read that day is what is going to happen. I can give examples and examples and examples of things that God has spoken to me in my normal Bible reading. And I'll just come and I say, who? But God wants to show everybody. And he will show us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. Proverbs 19, 15 says, let me just quote. It says, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep. Are you following me? But let's Hebrews chapter 6, what I say? I say, this is the problem. You know, he was talking to them about the problem he read earlier on in Hebrews chapter 5. It's a continuous discourse. So, he now says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same what I said, diligence to the full assuring of hope unto the end. Next verse. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So you see now the problem with dullness of hearing that he spoke about in the previous verse is because of slothfulness and a lack of diligence. If you remember that story, I just came to mind about Abraham. When God says you make a sacrifice and he called the animals, then it got dark. Then he saw that birds were coming. Then he woke up and started driving them away. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. We have already seen that. Now, I mentioned the scripture about light coming to your mind. Let's open to John chapter 7, verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. In Amplified Bible. The Lord Jesus was talking to them about the problem of his will. You see, the will of man, it's like the trap door. It's the struggle at Gethsemane for the Lord Jesus Christ or the contest of the will. Mommy preached that message over 20 years ago, the contest of the will. That's why I said, you see, the summary of his prayer was to submit his will, to do the will of God. I said, not my will, your will be done. So see what the master says. I said, if any man desires to do his will, we know how to do his will now from that scripture. We desire to show the same diligence unto the end. God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed what? Illumination. To what? Recognize. And can tell for himself. He didn't put pastor there. Whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking from myself and of my own accord and on my own authority. How do I know that watching and praying that pastor taught us every four times is of God? Because I obeyed, I practiced it, and God has revealed it to me. But it didn't come just by being lazy. That is, you hear the message, then you put it, you don't start. You see, one time once they preach something, start immediately. The first thing you can do is say, I set my mind to start doing pastor just here. Just start, don't stop. Because if you delay, like the seed that fell by the wayside, the birds of the air, Satan will just pick it away. Won't do it again. He will take the message of God to bring the message again. Then you weep and cry again. Then you defer. No, don't defer. Praise the Lord. So, we have seen that. Part of that diligence, talk about it in prayer. I have some things. I have some examples that I wrote down here. Let me first read from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. So, I can put some things behind this thing. You see, I said, the example, as they put it, okay, let's read. So, I went by the field of a slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. Next verse. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall, revelation of that, thereof was broken down. That means there was a stone wall there before that was intact. But because of slothfulness, he lost the revelation of knowledge. Are you with me? And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. You know, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone was broken down. If you notice, we can't get there. Because of time. That same scripture that Paul was talking about in Hebrews He said, that which bringeth forth briars and thorns is now unto cursing. So it's the same thing is following. You see, laziness, we're going to see. Laziness can eventually make somebody fall away. That's why it's very dangerous. Mommy, you see some those. The mom said, there's no status quo in the kingdom. You can't say, I'm here now, I'm okay. No, you keep pressing toward the mark. You can't stop. You can't look back. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the price of your high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some scriptures. How does this thing creep on us? Most of the time, it is through prosperity. When how diligent now? Is when something happens, you've been believing God. I'm not saying prosperity is not of the devil. It is of God. But the Bible talks about the ease of prosperity. That's why I was sharing the other day when I said I woke up and I wanted to pray. And I said, God, am I wasted? I get up and I pray. And I was talking to God. And I said, God, I have a problem. If I still get up and I pray, but I just said, what of if, let me just get, I get like 10 billion. Will I not say in my heart, why am I waking up to pray at 4 a.m. again? Let's take it easy now. You need to pray now. You don't want something bad to happen. But everything is okay. You are okay. Are you following me? That was the problem of David. You see, David made 3 mistakes in his life that the Bible recorded. 1, in picking the ark. 2, when he slept with Bathsheba. 3, when he numbered the people. He numbered the people. And you see, in my Bible study, all the answers he needed were right beside him. Are you following me? Zadok was with him to have told him, this is the way to pick the ark. Are you with me? Nathan was there for him to have told him that, look, if you had a problem. So the answers that came afterward, all the people are giving the answers were there before him. God was there. It was God or the first person that followed him to the cave at Adullam. But the correction came after. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that somebody will not go to meet the wise. So he went to go and be asking people that can't talk to him. God put the same measure of the prophetic on those people. Small measures. But didn't consult with them. I will show you when we get there. Zadok is a seer. Most people don't know. If you open to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 27. All you have to do is say, Zadok, please, how do we bring back the ark? He considered with people. That's what happens when you can begin to settle down. Are we there? And the king, this was when the rebellion broke out. And the king said unto Zadok, the priest, art thou not a seer? Say, art thou not a seer? Return into the city in peace. And your 2 sons with you, Ahimaaz and others. So he had Zadok with him before he carried the priest. He carried the ark. But he didn't consult with Zadok. He had Nathan there with him. I follow me, but didn't consult with Nathan. It was after. You see, the rebuke that came after, it could have been corrected if he had consulted with them, including God. It was God that came and said, okay, rear up a tabernacle. Instead of going to go and ask Joab, Joab was telling him, oh God, don't let us count this thing. But Bible said the king's voice prevailed. But what is the root cause? Ease. He did not make someone that we are chasing around in Adullam. Why would he not make that mistake now? I follow him. He always inquire, God, what do I do? Anyway, let's look at just along the side. Ease of prosperity. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11 in Amplified Bible. Jeremiah 48, verse 11 in Amplified Bible. Talking about Moab. Jeremiah 48 in the Amplified Bible, verse 11. Please hurry up. Are we there? It says, Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lease like wine, and has not been drawn off from one vessel to another. Neither has he gone into exile. Therefore, his taste remains the same, and his scent is not changed. That means God does not want our taste to remain the same. There should be a sense, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's something that must increase every day. You cannot be satisfied with yesterday's wine. You cannot. You have to keep on. So he said, Moab is settled. Moab here is the top of the flesh. It was settled down. It's not changing. That's why you have the church shaking. How about God is shaking everything out of your complacency and ease? Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, Amplified Bible. 16:49, Amplified Bible. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. Say pride, overabundance of food, prosperous ease, and idleness. We are hers and our daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. What led to the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah? Homosexuality, idleness, plenty of bread. So they became complacent in spiritual things. And it cost them. I said, woe unto them that are easy now. The other example I just mentioned about is Laodicean church. He said, that lukewarm, that neither hot nor cold. Then there was a time they, you know why? There was a time they were very hot, or else they won't get that kind of prosperity. You know, you can't get born again today, and God bless you so much. He'll give you the one you need. But they kept on seeking God, so the prosperity increased to a state that he now took it easy. That's why he said, you say you are rich. He said, but you are poor, miserable, and wretched. Let's look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. 3, 14. Okay, it says, unto the angel of church like this, you know, write these things. Amen. Next verse, 15. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. Next verse. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Next verse. He says, because thou seest I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. You see, they increased. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Next verse. I counsel to buy gold, you know, in fire, you know, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment. God now saying that, look, you have lost the true spiritual riches. White raiment, you know, the pastor has taught all those things. You know, you are blind. You say, the shame of our nakedness will not appear. And not thy eyes with eyes starved, that thou mayest see. Next verse. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous and repent. What are we saying? You see, ease is a very terrible thing in the body of Christ. You don't have to have 10 billion to be at ease. It's just a question of one little victory. Then just take it easy. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. I will not take time to read, because of time, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. When Jesus Christ was talking about the parable of the sower, he now went to meet him. Put it there. And let me just mention one or two things. You know, in verse 10, the disciples now asked him. So it's not a question of whether I don't know. The disciples too did not know. But you see, the question is, they were diligent to go back and ask him. They heard the same thing. They said, the disciples came and said unto him, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? As if they understood it. In Mark 4, they went to ask him. He said, you mean you don't understand these things? He said, then we understand them. He was talking to him. So it wasn't a question of, but there are some people that took time, like the Berean Christians, to go back and search the scriptures. They did not say it's because it's poor, we will not check it. And God did not get angry with them because they checked it, because it was Paul that told them. God put in the scripture. He said, next verse. Next verse, verse 14, please. Okay, so I swear the word, you know. And no. Go to where Jesus Christ gave a parable and he said 10. Is it 10? That he said that hearing they will hear and they will not see. You know. 10. Is it 13, 10, please? Lord have mercy. Okay, let's leave it. There's somewhere that Lord Master was telling me about this same about Daniel's friend. They asked him, how come you are talking to them in parables? He now said, it's written of them in Isaiah that hearing they will hear. You know, this put their hearts are worked through us. Blah, blah, blah. But what am I saying? The summary of it is this. Let's leave because of time. Summary of it is this. If you are not diligent in the things of the Spirit, I am not pressing towards the mark. After dullness of hearing will occur, but will not occur to us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, other examples I have here, the Hebrew Christians, we mentioned it. The Corinthian church too, we have that example, and the Galatian church. And I just mentioned Nicodemus. When he came to Jesus Christ, he said, Master, that means you can be a teacher or a pastor, and yet not have an understanding of simple truths in the Bible. If you don't apply yourself to the things of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ said, are you a master? And he said, I don't understand these things. Are you following me? So it's very important for us. That's what God wants us to get today. Now, why do we have to overcome dullness of hearing? Number one, I already mentioned in the passing. God wants to show us things written concerning us in the Word of God, so we can fulfill our prophetic destiny. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. God, the pastor has taught us. He says that if any man should take out of his reading this book, God shall take out his own part. You know, from between. Without, I've gave personal examples of myself. You know, which applies to everybody. God told Jeremiah, he said, I found you in your mother's womb before. He said, before you are born, I knew you. And I called you, ordained you a prophet to the nations. It's not only for Jeremiah, like Pastor said, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Praise the Lord. For example, if Lord Jesus Christ had not met those two guys on the way to Emmaus, I found them, they would still be carrying his chaos if they die and they would not understand it. John chapter 16, verse 12, he says that, you know, I have many things to tell you. He said, but when the Holy Spirit is come, it will guide you to all truth. And Pastor said the other day, it's not your truth that has to do with your academics alone, or even Bible. It's truth in every realm. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, we need to begin to take our Bible reading and meditation seriously. I follow him. Do research. Serious research. Sit down. When I read my Bible like this, I don't rush through. I sit down. I go through it. And I ask, I'll go back again. Then I'll chew on a verse. Maybe when I'm having my life. Then all of a sudden, light just on. Boom. I say, That's it though. Nobody is special. The second reason, dullness of hearing will automatically result in carnality and a stunted growth, an inability to receive the fullness of inheritance. You see, if you have a problem with dullness of hearing, and you're not hearing accurately, are you following me? The person automatically will have a stunted growth, like you have in the, which is without carnality in the Corinthian church. Paul said that, I would want to speak to you, but say you are so carnal. That I envy among you, strife. You know, I said, aren't you carnal? He said, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you as babes. We will not remain babes in Jesus' name. So John chapter, 2 John chapter 8, verse, it's only one chapter. 2 John verse 8 in Amplified Bible. Amplified Bible. Okay, let's say, look to yourselves. Say, look to yourself. Take care that you may not lose, throw away, or destroy all that we and you have labored for, but that you may preserve, persevere until you win and receive back a perfect full reward. You have to keep on looking to yourself, checking yourself out. Am I growing cold? Did I pray better today than I did yesterday? I'm rejoicing in the prayer of yesterday instead of improving on the prayer of today. You have to keep checking. You have to keep checking. Are you following me? So we don't eclipse someone easily. I have to keep on checking. Praise the Lord. So the last point I have here is that I already mentioned that this gradual spiritual retrogression can eventually lead to the falling away. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Let's just read it. Because now we are talking about these same people that had the problem of dullness of hearing. So you can understand the context in which Paul was talking about. Say, therefore, leaving the principles. You know, it was verse 5 that he told them. Say, therefore, he said, leave the principle of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not lean against the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Next verse. Say, on of doctrine of baptism, lean on the heart. Go to verse 3 because of time. Say, this we will do if God permit. Next verse. Say, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the worlds to come. Next verse. If they shall fall away. Why would they fall away? Because of dullness of hearing. He said, I have many things to say, but you are dull of hearing. Hey, God forbid, you heard so much about five questions. It's coming. Where's the point for this coming? It's a hard thing. No, you can come to church. You'll call to me. I had to be correcting myself. Pastor comes. On Wednesday, you say, they'll put it on the board. It's seven pillars of wisdom. He will say everything. I won't even hear. And I'm looking at him like this. Then he'll go on to, then he goes, the circle goes back to the circle again. I will hear the circle. I will not know how he got to the circle. Then, because you have heard and heard and heard. That's why you have to prepare the ground of your heart before you come. So that what you've been hearing all the time will be new every morning. So it's not going, okay, perfection. It's going, point one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step seven. Then you heard it and you didn't hear it. Are you with me? And then you just, when did he get to this place? Why? Because you have heard it so much. Are you following me? And in your mind is like, okay, I've heard it, perfection. You know, and you may be saying, okay, let's see what somebody that's going to say to you that is maybe new. Dullness of hearing. So you have to prepare the ground of your heart. Are you following me? Because in that same thing,
It has happened to me many times. God will just bring something, boom, afresh. Just like I was sharing about the fear of the Lord. I follow me. God said, that same scripture, boom. So he says, repentance, seeing you crucify the Son of God to himself. You see, this can't happen unless you're a mature Christian. But what I'm saying is this. Before, if you start retrogressing, if you're not moving forward, then automatically you're moving backward. Slowly. Slowly. Next verse. Next verse. Now, you see what that proverb was talking about. We said that, I went by the field of a slothful, and it was all grown over, and a stone wall was broken out. Paul repeats the same thing. He says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth has meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive a blessing from God. Next verse. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. The other aspect is this. If you don't overcome this problem, you find it difficult to discern between good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, it says that having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you with me? That is why some people, born again Christians, they could be your friend. They begin to call the proud happy. They can't discern. They can go to the house of Ahab. They can't discern. They'll say, what he said is okay now. Doesn't God want us to prosper? Why? Dullness of hearing. Their senses have not been exercised to discern between good and evil. They cannot perceive the heart of the minister that is talking, that is speaking on heart of covetousness. So if they go there, they can empty their bags on the stage. You say, they should bring all their money. That will not be a portion. And the antidote is very simple. What is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of hearing? Don't go there. So how do you overcome dullness of hearing? One, say genuine repentance or spiritual thoughtfulness and receiving mercy to break up our fallow ground through self-judgment. You see, when you leave your ground of your heart for a long period of time, or you don't take care of it like that farmer that goes to the field to weed, to remove weeds from the, you know, so that they don't interfere with the growth of his plants. Before you know it, they will go all grown over. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. So the weed that's supposed to be tender becomes hard. And then if he closes, bam! Satan just put the padlock there and take the key away. God will not be, that will not be a portion in Jesus. Therefore, because the weed becomes hardened. Because there isn't constant prayer, the life of God birthing that will, so it can remain open. What does this? Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reaping mercy. Break up your fallow ground, the fallow ground of your heart, for it is time to seek the Lord until they come and rain righteousness upon you. Say, sow to yourselves in righteousness. How do you do that? It's by confessing your sins. If you confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you sow to yourself in righteousness. You sow to yourself in righteousness by confessing your sins, by using the blood of Jesus Christ. He said that you may reap what? In mercy. So when you confess your sins, he that confesses, say, confesses and forsakes shall obtain mercy. So that's how you break your fallow ground. You recognize the problem. So you sow in righteousness by using the blood. Are you with me? Say, Father, I confess our sins. You have sown yourself in righteousness. If that confesses his sins, Bible says that if you confess our sins, freely just forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Proverbs says that, you know, Bible says that, you know, who so confesses and forsakes shall obtain mercy. That's how you search yourself. That's how you break your fallow ground. That the will can open. Then daily, as an act of our will, we determine to daily set our will to obey God. You must set your will. You must set your will. I can never forget the lesson a pastor gave us years ago about the satellite, the dish outside, or DSTV dish. You can be seeing something clearly today. When winds begin to blow, it rains, it can shift a bit. If you don't put it back, it will move again. Because the first movement shows that the screws are not tight. So if you don't quickly set it back, it will move again. It will move again. So what you are seeing, why, is no longer clear again. So you daily set your will to obey God. That's the first thing you do, I've been taught. You know, and then you also determine and set your will to pray and to also walk in the spirit. If you're not diligent in these things, that's why I said, he said, watch and pray, we said, so that your heart is not overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this world. Because they are there. To be diligent. And one of the things you can do is, I've said over and over, Use your phone. Instead of using your phone for WhatsApp alone, use your phone. Set your time. You don't have to set your time to wake up alone. You can set it for every 4 hours. You can set it for every 1 hour. If you know you're not going to remember. So it will just beep. My phone is always set. Every morning when I wake up, I set it to every hour. So when it beeps in my pocket, I may be talking to you. I will be looking at you like this. In my mind, you know, I can't talk. As the Lord have mercy on me, you know, I will take the choose fear of the Lord. Because the Bible says, continue down the fear of the Lord all day long. Which honestly, so in my mind, I'm talking to you, I choose the fear of the Lord. Are you with me? Then I take the fruit of the Spirit. Fire, feel my God, I'm talking to you. So constantly, I'm doing it. I'm not perfect. I miss it on convocations. But I recognize that if I don't put something to aid me, to like a support, I follow me, I will forget. And the fact that you forget, God will not mark it for you that I've done it. Sometime last year, I was sharing a pastor, God spoke to me and he said that, look, don't let me say God. I just sense that, look, the way things are going in the world, if you're watching and praying is 30%, you better move up to 60% or else it won't cut it. He says, our goal is to watch and pray always. We don't do it always yet. So, the way that iniquities are abounding, you have to step up your watching and praying always. So, you don't fall into temptation. So, if it is 10%, no problem. Move it up to 20. Are you following me? If it is 20%, move it up to 30. Be more diligent. So, use your phone. That's just an example. Whatever God tells. So, when I leave here now, when I ask my wife, when we get in the car outside now, before we move from here to there, we are prayed. So, honey. You know where I got it from? That's what Biggus Word did. Jacobri. Matthew, don't tell me anything happened in the market. Let's pray first. Then we'll pray. And I discovered that by the time we do a short prayer, all the this will have. Not that we don't just. We don't have time for it again. But also, each time we don't do it, either we get into strife for something on the way, we argue. So any opportunity, why? Why? So you practice. Husband and wife can practice. Children can practice. So every opportunity, when I get to the first night, before I go and go to eat at all, I do the last binding for the last 12 midnight to 6 a.m. You know why? When you want to take your medicine, they know you will forget. You will say one before your meal. The second one before this. They are ready because you know that you are going to eat. So you will not forget. So you either put it beside your dining table. So, I need my mom before. Then this one, I'll take it afternoon. Then night, only before you go to sleep. So, the same thing. So, you take your spiritual drugs every day. Non-stop. So, that's how I can really watch and pray. And last thing is to be diligent in our Bible reading and study. I already mentioned the Berean Christians. They took what they taught them and they took it home. And they studied. And they saw that, okay, all Paul said is true. Last scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Where Paul is talking to his son Timothy. What did he say? 2 Timothy 2. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God as a worker that needed of your rightly dividing the word of truth. Please put it on the board. I didn't say Luke. 2 Timothy. Okay, I quote. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly divine word truth. Now he says, study show yourself approved unto God, not to man. God's standard is very high. It's God that is going to come and ask you questions. So it's not study. So I'm not reading my Bible so I can come and share scriptures. No. I'm reading my Bible so I can discover my destiny. So I don't make a mistake. So study show yourself approved. That means it is possible to study and not to be approved by God. That will not be approved. Say, show yourself approved unto God as a workman. That needs not to be ashamed. That is, don't be ashamed of knowing the Bible. It is not proud. If you don't know the Bible, what do you want to know? You want to bragging about your biology. When you don't know the Bible, then you should be ashamed. If you don't know your inheritance, what is really concerning you? That's the only way we are not going to be ashamed. Bible says, my people shall not be ashamed. They will not be ashamed when they study to show themselves approved unto God. So you are walking in the light as he is in light. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to God. Let's ask God for mercy. Let's ask God to help us Also, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from. Always remember, there is no status quo in the kingdom of God. We have to keep on moving forward until we see Him face to face. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining
every day. Still
praying us, I upward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up.
Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance of being diligent in the things of the Spirit. I come to receive fresh mercy and sufficient grace to daily, diligently exercise myself in a place of prayer, with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, and a diligent walk in the Spirit, and also to be diligent in my daily Bible reading and study, so that my path will continue to shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Father, we thank you very much. Lord, just thank you. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name.